My second part of the sermon here this morning is kind of in connection with the first part, obviously. We talked about how to make a difference in the lives of other people. You know what? Sometimes you're going to meet people that it's really going to take a lot more effort, a lot more energy to make a difference in the lives of those folks and to just work with in general. Sometimes there's some people that you can work with, like, man, it's so easy. They're easy to talk to. They're easy to get along with and things of that nature. But some people, you know, you have to tighten the stirrups a little bit harder and or tighter, I should say, and stay on as long as you possibly can. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are as patient. That we are as patient as we possibly can be with other folks. My mother will tell you that she did this sermon specifically for me. She says she's been preaching this sermon to me since I was probably 5 years old, and so she would probably take a lot of credit for a sermon like this, but this is one of those areas and aspects of life that we all maybe tend to struggle with from time to time, and I know it's definitely one that I have struggled with, especially in my younger years, and then after I started having children, if you're going to be any kind of a quote-unquote successful parent, you got to learn a lot of patience, because all kids are not the same. Different kids have different functions, different commonalities, different a lot of things. Kids are different, and they all grow at different paces as well. And then after I became kind of more interested and involved in ministry, I realized that this terminology and that this characteristic was even more prevalent for me, because you're going to meet all different sorts of people that react differently, that have different struggles and struggle differently, learn differently, have overall different demeanors about themselves. And so we're going to talk about patience here for a little bit this morning. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how it is love, how it's joy, peace, long-suffering, how it's gentleness, it's goodness, and faith, and meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so we have to make sure that we are being long-suffering to each other, that we are being gentle to each other, that we are doing good to one another, that we are have a meekness and temperance towards each other as well. All of these things are related, interrelated with patience. There's a story of a young Christian, maybe, who went to an older Christian for help. And he says, "Will you please pray for me that I might be more patient?" he asked. So they knelt together and the old man began to pray, "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man..." And at the point, the young Christian blurted out, "No, no, no, I didn't ask for you to pray for tribulation. I wanted you to pray for patience." "Ah," responded the old wise Christian, "it's through tribulation that we learn patience." So sometimes we find ourselves in the shoes of the situation. Tribulation anywhere that we go. Trials, tribulation, sin, knocking on our door every single day. And our quick immediate reaction is, "God, take this away and take it away from me right now. I don't want this in my life. I can't handle this in my life. Take this, Lord, away from me now." We also have the mentality of, you know, well, there's an issue in life. "Lord, I have this issue and I need it resolved. And I don't need it resolved yesterday. I need it resolved right here and right now." And then we think to ourselves, "Well, is God even real? Is God even listening to me?" when it doesn't happen within our own time. So we ask ourselves exactly, what is patience? If we have any kind of dictionary definition, patience is self-restraint which does not hastily retaliate against a wrong. So it's a self-restraint. It's self-control, right? There might be things that are happening around us. We have a timeline for those things. We have a generalized conclusion of those things, maybe in our mind and in our heart. But patience is being able to restrain self from acting out in anger, acting out in frustration, or a mirage of other different things, obviously. And so it's us being able to control ourselves or practice self-control and maybe wait. Wait for a period of time when the conclusion might present itself. And so, when someone does you a wrong, how do you respond? Right? If somebody has wronged you, if somebody has done something mean or nasty or said something negative to you, how do you respond? Are you patient? You think to yourself, "Okay, take a deep breath, you know, blow it out, or maybe remove myself from the situation." Or do you immediately lash out? Do you immediately go straight to the anger aspect of your life? especially in dealing with kids. And I know as parents, it's extremely frustrating to be a parent sometimes. You want to lash out in anger because you think that makes yourself feel better about yourself and the situation. More often times than not, I think there's a lot of studies and statistics out there in relationship to yelling at children and how it does more damage in the long run than it does actually in good things. And so sometimes you have to practice a lot more patience, and or as the Bible talks about long suffering, that's exactly what it is, what it sounds like to suffer long with someone or a child or whoever the case might be, and practice more patience. Patience, another secondary definition, is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Hey, it is what it is. I have no control over the situation, or maybe I had a control and maybe I just messed up in this given God-given situation. And you know what? I'm going to take it for what it is, and I'm going to try better next time. Patience is not obviously, well, I messed up and I have to go fix it right here, right now. You know why? You're beating yourself up and things along those lines. And we have to be careful to do that too often. How do you deal with delay or disappointment? For some, that's really tough, right? For some, that's a struggle for a lot of us. And guess what? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I've said this more often times than not, but you're never going to have your complete life altogether. All the list of issues that you and I and all of us have, when we go down through those issues and we start checking maybe one or two off that we accomplished that day, you're going to wake up the next day and there's going to be a whole new set of issues. There's going to be a whole new set of problems. And so that's where patience comes into play. I'm not going to be able to tackle A through Z today. I might try to get through A, maybe even through A and B. But then when I wake up tomorrow, there might be two new, brand new issues that are presenting themselves. How do you deal with delay or disappointment? Patience is the ability to accept it without becoming too upset. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. I've learned from that mistake. I've learned from that situation. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be better at making choices and decisions than I did when I went to bed late last night. And so patience also is the powerful attribute that enables a man or woman to remain steadfast under strain and continue pressing on. Maybe that is where some of you are here today, right? Maybe it's you're dealing with difficult circumstances. You're raising a child, or you're caring for aging parents. Or maybe you have a loved one who is ill and you've spent long hours at the hospital or nursing home. My dad and I tease quite a bit, especially when my grandparents are both sick. He said, I wonder if I could tally up how many hours that I've spent in a hospital when I have not been sick. I wonder what the percentage of my life was spent in hospitals. And for a lot of us, it's the exact same situation. As it talked about, in a nursing home, we have grandparents and parents that are in nursing homes, or people that are just ill that need us there to support them in some way, shape, or form. And then the last definition of patience that I have before us this morning is patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. You might find this to be more the religious definition of what patience is. The calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. There is nothing that I can do to fix yesterday. There is nothing that I can really do to kind of help this situation. I've done all I know to do. I've done all I can. Now I've got to understand that I serve a higher God and that God has got to be in control of this situation, no matter what it might be. Sometimes it's the tragedies that break our hearts and become the basis for more of a beautiful design in our lives. How many times have you seen a situation like that happen before? Something so bad, something so tragic has happened, but yet at the end of the day, as terrible of a situation that is, look at how it's breathed life into something completely different. I oftentimes think about somebody that donated some organs or whatever out of their bodies. And I've read something just about a month ago where somebody had tragically passed away, and another person received the eyes of this person that had tragically passed away. And the parent of the person that passed away looked at the eyes that obviously used to be in their loved one and this new person, and they just both broke down and hugged and cried and everything. And so something so tragic, but it ended up to being something so beautiful in the design of life. And be patient with the hurts. Being patient with the hurts over which you have no control. We've already kind of talked about that a little bit this morning, haven't we? There's a lot of things in life we just simply, friends, don't have control over. Unfortunately. And especially, you struggle with that if you're what we call a control freak, right? You have to make sure that you make all the choices, you make all the decisions of life. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's just not that way. In God's hands, they may become a source of help, of healing, of help, and of beauty. When God is in control, definitely all things are made possible. So let's talk about patience. Number one, I want to talk about the difficulty of developing patience. If you would have asked Brock Begley at 18 years old if he would ever develop any amount of patience in life, I would have looked at you, probably laughed a little bit, and then said, no. I was an extremely impatient person. You know, the teacher said, we have a test tomorrow. I wanted to take the test now while the knowledge was fresh in my mind. You know, if somebody said, oh, we'll get together sometime soon. Well, no, I want to get together right now. Let's hang out now. Why are we waiting? What's going on with this situation? So developing patience is difficult because it goes against our humanistic nature. We aren't born patient, are we? You ever seen a newborn, especially when it gets hungry? A newborn is trying to find the bottle. You know, I'm talking newborn, trying to find the bottle. If the bottle doesn't present itself, it starts wailing, it starts crying, it starts kicking, it's hungry, and it wants food now. Sometimes as older adults, we do the exact same thing when we get hungry or when we get thirsty. But we are not born with patience. This is something that is developed in every single one of us. And I've already kind of talked about that, right? So I've used this illustration. I know mom and dad are tired, so I'll just wait until a more convenient time to let them know that I need something to eat and my diaper will get changed later. Does a baby ever think that way? Of course not. He's not patient. My diaper is full. It needs changed now. I'm hungry and I want food right here and right now. The baby cries, obviously, impatiently, continues to cry until it receives the attention it demands. Children just aren't patient. And as I said, it's something we have to develop over time. As an illustration here, have you ever traveled with a child? Good grief. No, thank you. I know, I think you've had Jason Reeder here before. I tease him all the time because when he and his family go to Florida, they drive the full 18 hours with their three children, smaller kind of children. And I tell him, man, that's why you're insane, because you travel with three kids on an 18-hour trip like that. And so it can be extremely difficult. A couple years ago, a survey recalled that we become an impatient and oftentimes angry nation. You see it happening at work. You see it happening at school. You see it in the intersections or in highways, people driving their cars, the road rage that takes over people, especially when you have to be at somewhere at a given point of time and you're running late. All of a sudden, your patience just goes flying out the window. However, we can learn. Much like salvation, much like Christian living, and a barrage of other things, we can learn these things. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, he tells us, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly." This goes back to what we talked about in the beginning of our sermon this morning, right? Or our previous sermon. Are we slow to speak? Are we swift to wrath? What kind of demeanor, what kind of characteristic do we have and or are we wanting? Proverbs 15:18 says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." A wrathful man stirs it up, right? Somebody that has absolutely no patience whatsoever. And guess what? We don't genuinely want to be around a person like that. We want to be around a person that is more patient, more calm, more understanding, easier to get along with, etc., etc. Patience is a virtue. And again, the Bible teaches us, it's all throughout Proverbs and the book of Psalms as well, that we need to develop this virtue in our lives. If we're going to be successful at anything, Christianity, better spouse, parent, son or daughter, you know, just overall neighbor, whatever the case is, we have got to learn to develop better patience. To all of those we encounter, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Be patient towards all men. This goes back to what I said earlier as well about a brand new Christian in Christ. I've seen this even when I was a teenager. Somebody comes forward, obeys the gospel. They're on fire. They're ready to conquer Satan. They're ready to win souls for Christ as soon as they possibly can. But after a while, that fire goes out. And instead of nurturing that person, instead of wrapping our arms around that person, I've seen Christians and brethren and even preachers take a sledgehammer, a spiritual sledgehammer to some of these people. And as an end result, that fire and that flame completely dies out. We have to be careful and make sure that we are being patient towards all men. So you might ask yourself, okay, I know I got to develop it. Well, exactly how do I do that? Number two, how we develop patience. As with any answers pertaining to spiritual development, we have to abide in Jesus Christ. As we see in John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It all starts in Jesus Christ. I tell you, you ever have a question about anything in life, it starts with finding the answer and finding the solution. It starts with Christ. It's extremely important to receive the nourishment that only Jesus Christ can provide. You know what? My kids have a special relationship with their mother that I'll never have with them. And I think we all, moms and kids have that, just that special something. You know, if a kid falls down and bruises their knee, more often times than not, they're not coming to dad for whatever reason, but they're going to mom because mom has that nurturing aspect about herself, right? She has that calmness. She has that mentality that, you know, I'm here to kiss the boo-boos away or whatever the case is. And that's what we as Christians are like when it comes to Jesus Christ. He provides us a nourishment. He provides us something that no parent, no other human being alive can provide us. And so it's extremely important that we go to Him for those things. How then can we develop patience through Christ? Number one, let's try walking in His steps. He left us the ultimate example. Jesus, the whole aspect of God and Christ and religion is not, well, I'm going to throw you in the fire and good luck with not getting burned. You know, yes, we're living in the fire of the world, right? Of society. We are living in the world, not of the world, obviously. But He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He's given us the ultimate example. This is things to look out for. Look at all the warning signs that are in the gospel. These are things to look out for. This is the way that you can conquer these things. And this is how you can help others defeat their foes and their tribulations as well. Number two, reading His Word. Have you ever been struggling in life and maybe just sat down to read the Bible? People tell you, just open up a good book. Well, the best-selling book of all time is the Bible. Open up, even if somebody is not into religion, right? They can read some of these storylines, learn about some of these people and the things that they went through, and just get a calmness about yourself. Reading about Christ, reading what He's done for us. In our small group on Wednesday nights, we just finished out a pretty good, intricate, detailed study of the crucifixion of Christ. And after everybody's left, I just kind of sit on my couch without even a TV on sometimes, and I'll just think all those things that He went through. And, you know, here's some of us, if we get a paper cut, we start crying about it. You know, He had that times 100. You know, and just to think about all He went through, knowing that He's never met me face to face in the flesh, right? But He loved me enough to go through those things. And that's just such a sombering thought, sombering feeling. Cody did a great job in our Lord's table this morning. Sombering thought, sombering feeling to know that somebody loved you enough to do what He went through for us. Matthew 27 is one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament scriptures, and that's all detailing about what He went through from Pontius Pilate all the way to the crucifixion. And I encourage you to read that on your own time. Growing in your prayer life. That goes back to what I said earlier as well. If you've ever gone through something in life and maybe or have a heavy heart, heavy mindset, depression, anxiety, whatever the case might be, have you ever stopped and just started to pray? Maybe it's even in your car on the way to work or to the grocery store or something. I'm not saying you got to close your eyes while driving. Don't get me wrong there. But just almost have this mentality that maybe Jesus is sitting in the passenger seat and start talking. Having that conversation. And this goes back to what I said in our previous sermon. Sometimes we just need to vent. Sometimes we just need somebody to listen to us. And there's no better set of ears on the face of this earth than the ears of Jesus Christ. And then spending quality time worshiping and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. I did a sermon this time, on the exact same time, this time last year, and talking about our spiritual goals set for ourselves. And one of those is realigning ourselves with God and the godly. I want all of you that maybe remember that, maybe you didn't, all of you to think for yourself this past year in 2019, as we're getting ready to cross over into a new year, a new decade, the people that you fellowshiped with this year, are they people that love you, that care for you, that genuinely want to see you succeed? I would honestly rather have two or three good friends that cared about me in that manner than to have 100 friends that could care less. Have you realigned yourself with God and the godly? Have you spent good quality time with those of like precious faith? I feel like sometimes our mindset is, well, we show up to the building, we greet everybody, then we go home and I'll see you Wednesday. You know, are we sending out those text messages, making those phone calls, visiting one another and spending that good quality time? Listen, I know we're all swamped. We stay busy. We are busier today than we were even 5-10 years ago with the movement of the world and what's taking place and what's going on. Poor Kyle's hardly ever home. I call him up, where are you at? Missouri, Arizona. Well, okay. But you know, and I know Jenna knows that better than I do, obviously. But you know, we stay busy. We stay swamped. But if we can maybe even take out a little bit of time to spend time, quality time together, share a meal, meet at a restaurant, just check up on each other, that goes such a long way in your Christian life. You might not think about it now, but it definitely, definitely does. We can look over, I'm running out of time here real quickly, we can look over to Exodus 14. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and they are standing at the bank of the Red Sea, and before them is great body of water, right, the Red Sea. Behind them you can hear the hoofbeats and the chariot wheels of Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh and his men come in to attack and get these children of Israel and to slay Moses and all of them. They're caught between a sea and an army. What would you do in a situation like that? Run, be scattered. God, you will help me now. Exodus 14:13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still. Calm down. Be patient. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. How great would it be if we just took a little bit of that attitude of Moses and applied it to our Christian lives today, where you could look at self in the mirror and say, hey, self, slow down. It's going to be okay. You didn't get that job promotion. You know, your friend said they wanted nothing to do with you. You know, somebody said something mean or nasty or negative to you. It's going to be okay. It's going to work itself out. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He loves me enough to die for me. He loves me enough to see me through these trials and tribulations. Sometimes we need to focus on that a lot more than what we currently do. Lastly, and then the lesson will be yours, use Jesus Christ as that example. Pre-crucifixion, we can see over Matthew 26:36. It says, then comes Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and be very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. We see in Luke 22:44, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We see in Luke 22:45, he says, and when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. How would you react to a situation like this? Here Jesus was experiencing the most terrible of nights of his life upon the earth, and they fell asleep not once, not twice, three different times. And yet Jesus treats them still with love, patience, and kindness. I would be frustrated to the max. Here I know what I'm getting ready to go through for the rest of the dying world, including you three, and I bring you here to support me, to be my support system. I tell you to sit here and pray so that you don't fall into temptation and you fall asleep. That's like telling a kid, you know, clean up your room, clean up your room, clean up your room. And at the third time, you just want to lash out. I've told you to clean your room. But look how Jesus treats them here. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray lest you enter into temptation. I think a lot of us would act very, very differently. We see also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Have you ever stopped and wondered in any given situation, number one, Well, why hasn't God intervened? Where's he at? Is he listening? Is he not listening? Why doesn't God send a lightning bolt? Right? Why doesn't God knock bad people off the face of the earth? Why doesn't he intervene when injustice seems to just run rampant around me and in society? For one reason, God is patient. And he wants everybody to be saved. When somebody does us wrong, we think to ourselves, well, God's going to strike them dead now. Right? That's, at least that's what we want. Or that's what our mentality is. But he's patient. He's been patient with me. He's been patient with you and all of us. It's time that, as I've said in the first part of the lesson this morning, it's time that we reciprocate that patience and give it towards other people as well. So again, the door of salvation is open because the Lord is patient. He's allowed you to have this God-given time and opportunity to become a Christian. No matter where you're at in the stage of life, you're here because God has been patient with you and given you that patience. The door to Jesus is open because the Lord is patient. He's not shut that door in your face. Again, you have that time and opportunity to obey Christ here today. We don't know if there will be another tomorrow. We don't know if there will be another end of the day. But what we do know, what we have, is right here and right now. Because the Lord has been patient to us. Right now, the opportunity for us to be saved is from sin is still available because the Lord has been patient. Bill Meglinson once said, patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not the one ahead. Powerful, powerful statement. And then we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. We're all patient here this morning as Christians because we know that the light is at the end of the tunnel. We know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him, and come judgment day, those of us that are ready and prepared to meet God, our patience will have paid off. So we invite you here this morning to become a Christian if you are not one, to have faith in Christ, repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. And if you're not yet a Christian, if you are a Christian and have broken down that relationship between you and Christ in some way, shape, or form, we invite you to take a seat in the front seat as a way of letting us know that we can encourage you, that we can pray with you and for you, that your sins would be forgiven. This will be my final time seeing you guys this year. I wish you all a very happy new year and set some great personal goals for yourself as we go into, like I said, the new year and the next decade. I love you guys so, so much, and it's not hard for me to say that whatsoever. You guys are all family to me and my family, and we appreciate all the love and the care and support that you've given us this year. You'll be in our daily prayers, and we pray that you continue to pray for us as well. We love you and appreciate you so much. While together, we stand and sing a song of invitation at this time.